Enter the zone. The prophecy zone. Your end time watchman, bringing you light in a dark world where truth is rivaled with a lie and the matrix is normal life. Luke 21. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. You are now in the zone. So be ready to enter the light or truth about the end of days, so you will be ready for the coming of the Lord. You are in the zone, the prophecy zone. So join us for the next hour as we look at world events in line with Bible prophecy, so you'll be informed and be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ.
Leaving all
Get ready to come into the zone for the next 60 minutes. Your journey will begin in 3, 2, 1. The Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong, your watchman on the wall. Bringing...
The election. The election is a battle in a war. It is not something unto itself. The result of this election in itself is a matter of indifference. It's a question of how the battle is won and lost, which is important. But there's another issue here. There's also an issue of World War III. And World War III is between the British Empire, better known as the Anglo-Dutch liberal banking financial system on the one side, and the principal nations of Eurasia, Russia, China, India, and other nations, are the targets of intended warfare by the British Empire, which is already turning Europe into a mere colony of the British Empire through the program of the Lisbon Treaty. If the Lisbon Treaty were adopted, and is being pushed for adoption now, there would not be a single nation on the continent of Europe, west of Belarus and Russia, which had any sovereignty whatsoever. The British Empire would control the entirety of that region of Europe, from Portugal to the borders of Belarus and Russia, as a puppet of the Anglo-Dutch liberal financial interests. It is those interests represented in the United States for a long time, have taken over control of the U.S. dollar, control of the United States. Now they're moving in for the kill. The same cartel that put Mussolini into power in Italy, the same cartel that put Hitler into power in Germany. And we're now at the brink of something like a Hitler power taking over the United States. If they grab the United States, then they will grab all of Europe under the Lisbon Treaty. If they control the United States and the part of Europe under the Lisbon Treaty, then you will have an actual fighting war emerging on this planet. You will have dictatorship. You will have mass starvation. The elimination of whole sections of the population of parts of the world through starvation. And that's part of the British program. It's the food war. That's the situation. We're not dealing with an election. We're dealing with whether there is in the United States, in the top layers of society, the moral fitness to survive. And so far, the vote is, in the leadership of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, neither is morally fit to survive. They're as unmorally fit to survive as the people who backed Mussolini and backed Hitler back in the 1920s and 1930s. And if we allow this to happen, we will get the same kind of treatment that the victims of Mussolini, Hitler, and so forth suffered. That's what we said. We have to win this war against that evil empire.
Let me see if I can get this right. He says, give the people what they want, and when you stop giving them what they want, they're going to vote you out of office, vote someone into office that will give them what they want and recycle this way of life over and over again until the treasury is fully broke. Of course, emphasis is mine all over the place. But normally I brought it down to common English. So what happens is when the system begins to give, when the government begins to fix, becomes what is called God, and when the government gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and the government gets out of control, the people will vote in or take out of office the person that they already voted in and put somebody in office that will continue to give them more. It cracks me up when I used to look at Vladimir Zhirinovsky, not Vladimir Putin, Vladimir Zhirinovsky, sort of a madman in Russia. He wrote a book called A Dash to the South. And if you read his book, Ezekiel 38 and 39, it's exactly to the T. That's why a lot of Bible-believing Christians, prophecy buffs, thought that Vladimir Zhirinovsky will come to power. But he never did. But another Vladimir did. And the definition of Vladimir is madman. So we got a Vladimir in there. His name is Vladimir Zhirinovsky. Well, anyway, he was trying to give the public vodka and all kinds of whiskey and buy their vote. Evidently, obviously, it didn't work. But to prove Thomas Jefferson's point, it's all over the place. Okay? But the thing is, though, even if we were taxpayers and we didn't, you know, the government didn't print money out of thin air, the system will be able to work, actually, to help people. Now, how far is the system supposed to go before it's called a socialist system? Okay, so I'm getting off the track what I actually want to talk about. The Word of God talks about, now I'm talking about abortion, if everybody want to know what I'm talking about, talks about in Mark chapter 10, verse 14, it says, but when Jesus saw it, of course, I'm back up, actually. I'm going to talk about in verse 13. It says, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought the little kids. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, the disciples, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not inherit the kingdom of God, according to therein. Okay, so that talks about meekness. A child is teachable and meekness. Now, that's not the point I want to make. The point is that Jesus is asking to not defraud the kids to be able to come unto me. Okay? And that's why, that's actually, let's keep going. When Jeremiah was commissioned, in chapter 1, it talks about Jeremiah, and he says chapter 1, verse 4, then the word came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in thy belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, what God is saying to Jeremiah, Jeremiah was saying, I'm young, so why would I have to go out and preach? Well, God is saying, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. So God is not only taking it to the fetus. He's not only taking it to the egg, but God himself is saying that even before you were born. So what does that tell you right now? So not only God, I'm going backwards sort of, but the verse I just read to y'all in Mark 14, or 10:14, says, don't cause the kids not to come to me, tell them to come to me, for such is the kingdom of God. Okay, so abortion, you can trick yourself all you want and use magic tricks and call good evil and evil good, but abortion is murder. And I always use simple analogy. Nobody actually seems to get it. Why would you have a birth, a bridal shower for nothing? I mean, it seems to insult my intelligence, what little I have, and it seems to insult everybody else's in the whole country's intelligence if a mom decides she wants to have a baby shower for nothing. Because that's evidently what the abortionists are telling me, that the baby is not a baby. I mean, to me, I look at, and I'm not calling anybody names, and I'm not saying anything bad about them, but I am. Actually, yeah, I am. Now, this might not make sense to y'all, but I'm going to read Psalms. And I'm not saying because you don't read the Bible, you're a fool. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, okay, let me just go ahead and read this. Okay, Psalms 14, verse 1. The fool has said in their heart, there is no God. I'm just going to stop there. Now, God just said to Jeremiah, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. So what you first have to do is say to yourself, there is no God. Then that relinquishes all accountability towards God. Well, you say, well, I'm going to get to a lot of Christians there's a lot of Democratic people who are serving the Lord, but they voted for Obama and Bill Clinton, but I'm gonna set the record straight for you. Okay, I'm not a Democrat or Republican. I'm a believer of Jesus Christ, but I'm also an independent. Now here's the deal with this. Now you guys get on, and I'm not saying that they're right either. I'm not saying Bill Clinton and President Obama is right. I'm saying they're fully wrong, especially when you go into China, trying to finance China abortions. Well, what's wrong with you, man? You gotta be a real vicious person to want to do that. But anyway, let's look at George Bush. God says that their heart, their mouth speak of me, but their hearts are far from me. Okay, when a Republican says we are pro-abortion, against abortion, but do nothing about abortion, is that good? Is that worse? Isn't that kind of worse? To me, that's worse than saying you for abortion and still, you know, you're for abortion. He's saying George Bush and George Bush Sr. and Ronald Reagan. Now, I don't know what the implications would be if they say they just signed an executive order, no more abortions. But a woman's right to choose is very, very, very sacred to a woman. Now, and I'm just as wrong as everybody else, so don't take this the wrong way, but I wish Eve would have chose right when she was in the garden. Of course, we'd still be in this mess anyway because Adam would have found out a way to do it. And Eve was taking leadership a long time ago. Some of women are the smartest people I've met in the world because women have a sense of, they have a great, what is it? Men are hard sometimes, and then women are more compassionate. But these days, you see a brother crying over a woman quicker than you would a woman crying over a man. And that's hilarious because I guess they've been treated wrong for so long. But I'm all off subject. So my point is that I'm going to continue. I want to read something to y'all. And I'm a slow reader. I'm like, especially at this time of night, my brain is like illiterate. So just bear with me. But it says, why God's judgment is upon America. Okay, it says, according to recent reports published by Paul Scott syndicated column, 1,200,000 abortions took place in the United States last year. Even more shocking is the information that the government financed between 222,000 and 278,000 of these abortions. Now, that's a lot of abortions. Now, I think if you had kids, wouldn't the economy sort of run a little? I mean, what's the point of the globalists trying to kill off that many people? I think the globalists are sick. You say, why are you jumping to the globalists? Well, abortion is population control, whether you like it or not. Okay, and they're also trying to kill us with all these foods. They got aspartame and a diet soda, and don't tell me that's retarded. Because I'm proving fact. When I drink diet soda, you know, doctor, my arm hurts when it does like that. Well, don't do like that then. I mean, of course I shouldn't be drinking it, you know. And I slow down a lot. I'm actually down to zero almost. I'm drinking diet right now, and it don't have any aspartame, and actually has Splenda. Splenda might even kill me. I haven't found out about that, but if you got to eat something, I can almost come up here and justify not eating anything. Just be like one of those ladies that hide in a room and throw up all day. Forgive me, God. I apologize if anybody out there who does that. I pray for you. Anyway, continue this article. These figures were furnished by the Department of Health, Education and Welfare, HUE, for the Senate House conferred, whatever that means, consider the HUE Labor Department $330 billion appropriations bill. Other government experts estimate that the government paid for 300,000 of these abortions. The cost of government-financed abortion amounted to between $40 and $50 million. So the government spent $40 to $50 million killing babies. Woo-hoo! Had it not been for an anti-abortion amendment tacked onto the HUE appropriations bill by three courteous senators, this information would never have come to light. Now, don't forget that the Word of God says that all things that are in the dark will surface to the light sooner or later. And that goes for me and you, and even good things will surface if nobody's watching you and you don't get any credit for doing something good. Senator Barkley, I don't even know what I'm saying, it's three senators. Senators Barkley and Hams were, of course, helped by different right-to-life groups. Okay. So we got some senators who are trying to help out, very few, because some of those senators and congressmen don't have a backbone, and they're going to have to follow the herd anyway. Is this great crime? Is this the greatest crime in history? Some might not think so, but I maintain that this may be one of the greatest crimes in the annals of human history. This may be the crime so dark, a sin so black, that nothing can stand the hand of God's righteous judgment upon America. Cain slew his brother Abel, but Abel was only one man, and as an adult, we presume that he had the power to defend himself. Okay, we've been killing each other from the beginning. Now, in Genesis, after the flood, Noah talked to God talked to Noah and made a covenant with Noah, but he told him to go out and repurpose the earth, subdue it and multiply. But he also said that you will not be killing, or if a man kills another man, his blood is required of him. Now, capital punishment, people make a big deal of capital punishment, but abortion seems to be just, as long as we can't see it, it's kind of retarded, isn't it? Now, I bet you the dude on death row just kind of like, I'm invisible now, so I guess I can get off and go home and until y'all find a cure for me being invisible, I guess I won't be on death row no more. Or should we say we're going to kill him because we can't see him. That's what they're doing with the babies. They're killing them because it's like we're playing, oh, I don't see it. My eyes like them acorn ladies. Oh, I don't see it. What are you going to tell us that for? We don't see. You see them acorn ladies? I call them the acorn heads. Oh, so you're going to bring 13-year-old kid? Oh, we don't want to hear it. You don't have to tell us all of that. You don't have to tell us all of that. No conscience at all. None. Okay. I told y'all I was going to be kind of, I was sitting up here reading. I don't know if I'm just tired or, and I'm like, oh, my goodness gracious. I'm either illiterate. I got a 3.8 in English this semester, and I can read the Bible at nighttime. I can read the Bible pretty late. But I was like struggling to read that article, but I read it in its entirety. It's a pretty good article. It says Americans have many false gods. However, we believe that one of America's chief gods is lust. Young people are being told, do your own thing, and they are doing it. In our schools, churches, and homes, the old absolute standard of morality are out. And that is true. You ever heard somebody says, well, what's right to me is maybe not right to you, but what's right to you might be right, you know, who's on first? It says, now it is a situation ethics or worse. Books, magazines, movies, and television are almost completely given over to the promotion of God, the God of lust. Every time I'm walking in a store, I look to the right, look to the left, no matter where I'm at, it's some form of nudity or something vulgar that I have to walk by. Especially I was at the bookstore today, and that was the case. Now, the reason why I'm bringing it says America's God is lust. Now, the lust of the flesh also has something to do with, to me, selfish ambitions. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, a part of abortion is that the lady wants, she's not ready yet. I'm not financially ready, or I'm not mentally ready, or I'm still young. I have my life ahead of me, so she can go and carry it out on her own desires. You know, she wants to continue with the same thing that got her in the position of having a baby in the first place. Sooner or later, you're gonna end up having a baby, and woe to the girl who has many abortions, because I pray for you, and I pray for people out there that we can end up having complications in your pregnancies. The human sacrifice to gods. Biblical and scholar histories contain many accounts of pagan people sacrificing their children to their gods. In the worship of Baal, this sacrifice was called passed through the fire. Some of the kings of Israel offered their own sons in this matter. 2 Kings 16:3 and 21:6. The book of Jeremiah contains a striking condemnation of the awful practices. Hear ye the word of the Lord. And this is Jeremiah 19:3 and 8. It says, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem. There said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whoever heareth his ears shall tingle, because they have forsaken me, and have estranged this place, and have burned incense and into the other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known. Sound like the Antichrist, but it's not him. Nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with in blood of innocence. They have built and also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spoke it, neither came it into my mind. Okay, so people are offering, they were all back there offering their babies into sacrifice. This time we're in the sacrifice of leisure, the sacrifice of finance, you know. It says, the chickens are coming home to roost. At long last, the proverbial chickens are coming home to roost. Remember Malcolm X said that? Because the abortion and many other sins against God, this nation is being to reap what it is sown, especially in the economy. It says, the righteous is all of a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness does exalt a nation. It really does. If you have, like even with my life, if I have good financial practices, and the Bible says a wise man saves. Okay, so if I'm saving and I'm not borrowing, what did it say, that we should be the head, not the tail? Then you financially okay. If you honor your wife as Christ for the church and you have good finances, what does that tell you? There's a good chance you're going to be married for a while, right? What about AIDS? If you wait until you marry and you don't live together, the Bible says a man should have one wife, even a preacher. Then what? Okay. So we have to look at abortion as a crutch. But now, do we judge? I mean, seriously. Do we go and just say, woman, you're crazy, you need to be, you know, we don't do that. What we do is, especially a younger girl, I say we take care of the baby. I'm scared to death of what I just said, really. I got a 12-year-old daughter upstairs watching TV. She still suck her thumb. She was sucking her thumb in the womb. So she's still sucking her thumb. And we tell her, Zane, I can walk by her. I go upstairs and get something to drink, walk right by her. Zane, quit sucking your thumb. And it's like, I have to remember, hey, this baby girl, you know, she. And we raise our kids up the way they should go in Jesus. And we, because I used to be, don't ask me why I'm talking like this right now, but I used to be really firm with my kids, and now I'm realizing too much firmness doesn't you have to kind of like be a cross between James Evans and on Good Times and Leave It to Beaver's dad. You have to be a cross between both of them. Meet them right down the center. Because if you don't, they're going to go out and get pregnant. And then you're going to have to, you know, I'm not getting an abortion. I'm sorry, not even with my daughter. She's my stepdaughter, though, but I love her with my heart. So, you know, I just teach her to wait until she's married. And if she doesn't, then hopefully she learns that not go out and have another one. But we're going to raise them up, you know, the way they should go. And hopefully they'll, you know, follow. But I'm not going to force my kids to go to church. You better go to church. Well, up until about 18, they can call their, you know, as long as they don't come up in my house acting crazy. You know, especially the son. My oldest son, 14 years old, you go out there, you get a girl pregnant, you're going to take care of him. I said, what's the difference between the son and the daughter? I still ain't put my finger on it yet. I think. See, I'm taking care of his dad's son, which is still my son, but I'm taking. His dad is not giving any child support. See, all these men having these kids, and they're not taking care of them. That's a nationwide big thing. And then they say the black man. What are we going to do? The plight of the black man. Well, first stop telling them it's a plight. And I mean, it will be heavy prayer to change this culture because they think it's cool to have girls all over the place pregnant and don't pay child support. But the government is going to get your check sooner or later. So I tell the people, the young men out there, the adults that's listening to this radio program who has, like, you know, boys, 14, 16-year-old boys, give a mathematical equation. Lay out on a piece of paper four men and then chart all those men's destiny and then stick in there, you know, Ray Ray, you know, Bob, John, and Quincy, and then put, you know, Ray Ray got three girls pregnant. John waited until he graduated from college, you know, the other two, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then take away from Ray Ray's pocket and show him or her, of course, your daughter, too. And, I mean, the thing is that if you're not taking care of your kids, the government, the chicken's going to come home to roost somewhere. And if you're the girl, the chicken's going to come home to roost because the girl's normally the one to take care of the baby. Your time's going to get sucked up. I love my one-year-old. I got a one-and-a-half-year-old. I'm the man. And I got this ministry. I got different things I'm doing. And I'm still in school, and I got income, pretty nice income. But I love my boy. Like I said, I've been tied, I say tied down for the sake of the conversation. I've been tied down for almost 3 years because when I came into the, before we had my biological one, me and my wife already had, I mean, she's already had three kids. So the youngest one, and I love my little boy. Even though it's not my biological one. And I've been tied down, so you can never say I've been tied down 1.5 years before this one, and then 1.5 years now. So I know how it is to be tied down. So women want to put their kid over the altar of convenience. How convenient. How convenient. Let's just kill our kids so we can all have a good time at the party. Go out to a club. Come on now. Let's go to, you know. I'm going to get my freak on tonight. Yeah, you need to get your freak on all night. And when your chicken's going to come on the roost, I swear you're going to end up with some kids. It always comes back to roost. You know. So what we need to do as a nation is we need to pray for this generation to get saved. Our generation is going to, I mean, this, in the tribulation period, I hate to put everybody in the tribulation period, but I'd rather just tell you now, just in case, this is Rosh Hashanah, so I'm not saying it's going to happen tonight or It could happen tonight. It could happen Sunday. It can happen next year. It can happen even. We might all be wrong. It might not be Rosh Hashanah. It might be just any day, like you said. No man knows the day and hour. But this holiday is supposed to be the no man knows the day and hour holiday. So it's a surprise. And I believe, and I do, this isn't just me. But right now, I'm to a position of, okay, I was wrong. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if there's no war or no, you know, things that are happening at the time of the rapture and then after the rapture, all the stuff take place, okay, I was wrong. If it happens next year, I never said it was going to happen this year. I just said these are the years it can take place. Okay? However, the United States will continue a downward spiral. And it's not just because of abortion. It's because, I'm gonna pick the simplest thing out for y'all. The simplest thing. It's because when you get up, now I'm not talking about you individually. I'm saying the person who thinks they're saved. Now, in the Word of God, it says, they get up in the morning and don't remember me not. Or, you know, I'm nowhere in their thoughts. So if the Bible is saying that if God is not first in your life, and not at least a close second, of course I'm kind of at, and I shouldn't have said that, but he can work his way up to first, if he's even third. But some people use God as a good luck charm or a byproduct. And see, don't forget that we wouldn't be in the position of abortion. I'm talking about as far as the couple is concerned, if we were following God's word. There wouldn't be no temptation. I mean, it's going to be temptation, but there won't be any temptation to get an abortion because you wouldn't be put in that position to get an abortion. Well, that's not cool, man. I got to wait till I get married. Yeah, practically. I've been doing this show for almost an hour, and it's going by really quick. I can't believe it's going by so quick. I want to let you listen to this young lady. She's very wise, smarter than I am. And then I'll come back. And you can even go on my webpage and listen to it on Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio. But just go ahead and listen to her.
What if I told you that right now someone was choosing if you were going to live or die? What if I told you that this choice wasn't based on what you could or couldn't do, what you've done in the past, or what you would do in the future? And what if I told you you could do nothing about it? Fellow students and teachers, thousands of children are right now in that very situation. Someone is choosing, without even knowing them, whether they are going to live or die. That someone is their mother, and that choice is abortion. Every day, 116,000 children are dying through abortion. 116,000. That means that 5,000 children would die every hour. All those lives, gone. All that potential, gone. And all that hope and future, gone. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. Oh, it's not really killing. After all, a fetus is a child. Right? Why do we think that just because the fetus can't talk or do what we do, it isn't a human being yet? The word fetus comes from the Latin word, meaning young one or young child. Some babies are born after only 5 months. Is this baby not human? We would never say that, yet abortions are performed on 5-month-old fetuses all the time. Or do we only call them humans if they're wanted? No, fetuses are definitely humans, knit together in their mother's womb by their wonderful creator, who knows them all by name. Some people might say that since abortion is legal now, it doesn't matter.
Okay, sorry about that. I actually held my phone up to the other phone and got a little squeal there. But anyway, my phone ran out of batteries. I wanted to talk about, right quick before we go off, a little bit about, and I'm going to also play another clip from her, but I wanted to talk about, actually, I'll just play her clip and then I'll come back.
If an action is unjust, it needs to be illegal, and it has to be our business. And this particular law has a huge impact on our society. In 1997, over 1 million abortions took place just in the U.S. And just last year, over 42 million abortions happened worldwide. I say that's a huge impact. I know some people say that the mother has a right to abort. After all, her life is dramatically impacted by having a baby. But I'm asking you to think about the child's rights that were never given to it. No matter what rights the mother has, it doesn't mean we can deny the rights of the fetus. Talking about the mother's choice, the mother may have had a choice not to have unprotected sex in the first place. We must remember that with our rights and our choices come responsibility, and we can't take someone else's rights away to avoid our responsibility. At this point, I imagine the age-old question arises. What if the mother didn't choose to have sex? What if she was raped? But let's look at the facts for the U.S. as an example.
Okay, I'm back. One of the people in the chat room wanted to call in. I guess they were calling in. I apologize. I've been having so many problems with people who call in, especially when your show is sort of, don't really advertise. I just come on, and I don't really know the base of people who are calling in. I've had bad, really bad troubles, and I'm starting to have bad troubles with people in the chat room. So I really kind of ignore it, and I apologize. I've been on. I apologize also. The guy's called We Kill Children, and it's sort of a misnomer, but it's in reverse. But I've been to his website or her website. I don't know if it's him or her, but I'll just say him, their website. And it's legit, and I apologize. I wish I knew it was you. I'll probably let you call in. But the last couple of times I've had callers call in, one dude told me that he asked me that I vote for Obama. And I said, no, you know, I don't know what I said. It's been a while back. And he said, you voted for that N. So, and then after that, there was a person calling me. I had to actually throw him off, sort of. That's why I kind of, like, skipped a few shows, skipped a while, because I got tired of these people calling me at nighttime. I said, these people, this lady's calling in drunk. And I'm thinking, I mean, I'm not a golly show, you know, but the enemy is all over the place. So I've had bad luck, big time bad luck. I had like a few good callers. Now, if I decide to continue, you know, if I advertise to everybody, spend the time doing it, and then run my show through the search engine, I'll probably be okay with it. But for right now, I'm just moving along. I got a few minutes. I'm going to try and let this caller come in. Hello, caller? Hello, caller? Caller. Okay, they're not. Maybe I just can't hear you. I apologize if I can't hear you. Okay, I'm going to play this last piece of her, the little girl.
1% of all American abortions are hard case categories. This includes rape, incest, and the life of the mother being endangered.
New Yorkers can now apply for the new enhanced driver's license. Newport and Melissa Holmes live at the bridge with the latest. Melissa?
Well, Lisa, they've only been available for a couple of hours, but already more than 100 New Yorkers have applied for the new enhanced driver's license. Officials say that they'll make crossing borders like here at the Peace Bridge safer and faster. Now, starting June 2009, federal law will require you to either have the enhanced driver's license or a passport to enter into the U.S. from Canada, the Caribbean, or Bermuda. Now, the new enhanced driver's license has a special radio frequency chip inside that will make it faster at the border crossing. Now, for a regular renewal, the enhanced license costs $80. That's $30 more than a regular license. But a passport costs more than $100. Now, a birth certificate will suffice at the border until June 2009, and it will always be accepted for children under 16. Now, it used to be that 8,000 forms of ID were accepted at the border, but come June, that number will only be 6. But why should a traveler pick an enhanced license over a passport, a Nexus card, or a new passport card?
Enhanced driver's license makes the most sense because it is a multiple-use document. Again, citizenship, identity can be used for driving. It surpasses the other applications of those other documents. And we encourage residents of the state of New York who are U.S. citizens to get one.
We don't need to rush in today. Yes, it's an exciting day. It's September 16th. One of the first time you've lost to have one. I understand that. But you really don't need it until June of 2009.
Now, once you apply for the enhanced driver's license, you should receive it in about 2 weeks. Now, when you go to the DMV to apply, you'll need to bring several forms of documentation, and so you're asked to go to the DMV's website or the Erie County Clerk's website to check out what those documents are. It'll make your time at the DMV a lot easier. We linked the Erie County Clerk's website to our website, WIBB.com. Reporting live at the Peace Bridge, Melissa Holmes, News 4 at noon. All right, thanks for the update on that, Melissa. Now, if you still have questions about these new licenses, we'll help you get them answered. Erie County Clerk Kathy Hogle.
Thank you.
enter the zone. The Prophecy Zone, your end time watchman, bringing you light in a dark world where truth is rivaled with a lie and the matrix is normal life. Luke 21. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. You are now in the zone. So be ready to enter the light or truth about the end of days, so you will be ready for the coming of the Lord. You are in the zone, the Prophecy Zone. So join us for the next hour as we look at world events in line with Bible prophecy, so you'll be informed and be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. Get ready to come into the zone for the next 60 minutes. Your journey will begin in 3, 2, 1. The Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong. Your watchman on the wall. Bringing you into the knowledge only found as you pursue the truth. So set back and enter the zone of Bible prophecy and find the hope that every Christian should have. Find out what is going to happen in the year 2012 and beyond. The Middle East, the mark of the beast, the European superstate, Russia, China, Syria, and more. So sit back and grab your cup of coffee and your Bible, and be prepared to enter the zone. The Prophecy Zone. Prophecy Zone. Prophecy Zone. Prophecy Zone. Prophecy Zone. Prophecy Zone.
Live here. Hopefully y'all can hear me. That was a recording I did a long time ago, the first one about abortion. Yeah, that was a long time ago. That was like maybe 2010, 2011. So it doesn't change. It's still the same. Just me who's changed. I hope y'all are having a wonderful night or a wonderful morning. If y'all are up being a midnight rider, sit back and relax. We still got about 51 minutes, 34 seconds, 33, whatever. Well, what I wanted to quickly talk about right quick is we've been blessed a lot on Blog Talk Radio. We have been truly blessed, as a matter of fact. I think the show has been we're almost over 170,000 listens. Now, that might not seem like a lot, but give and take how many shows I actually did, and even when I had the three ladies that was working with me, give and take, they only was with me about four months. Well, maybe a little bit more than 4 months. And I was here the rest of the way, so I started. My first show was May 20th, 2009. So that seems like a long time, but technically I by myself, I really haven't done any shows, a lot of shows. I got my kids during the day. We're trying to wait for them to go to daycare. At least one of the kids go to daycare so we can be good to go for the other one, so he goes to school next year. I'm probably going to finish up my degree, criminal justice degree, in the fall. The Lord don't come back. No, I was joking. But yeah, so we're over 170, almost 170,000. We had 169. So that's a blessing. I think by myself, I probably did maybe 100 and some shows. I don't think I did 200 myself. So just think about that. If I only did 100 shows, and the ladies probably did a total of 100, and we're probably sitting at 200 some shows, because on Blog Talk there's no okay, you did these many shows. So what's so important about the numbers? Nothing. But it does show that, you know, we do have a listenership. And if I was more, you know, persistent at scheduling and telling you what the show is going to be about, it would probably be way up there. And had I continued to do shows every day for that long, yeah, we'd have been well over probably a million. So it is a blessing to have Blog Talk Radio. As much as we talk about it, as much as a lot of people try to leave Blog Talk, they end up coming back, because Blog Talk is pretty easy to use, not so sophisticated, pretty user friendly. If God is calling you to do a radio show, if you're just listening to this show, you're saying, well, God might not be calling me. I might not even be born again, but I might not be a Christian. But I think I can do a show. Well, do it. Nothing beats $39 a month, and you get these many listens. It's just ridiculous. And like I said before, folks, had I did at least 5 shows every week, because once, I think in January, I didn't do any shows. And we stopped doing shows. Everybody stopped doing shows because I wanted to just stop doing shows for the new year. And it turned out that in January, from all the motion that we were before January, we had 20,000 listeners. And we did no shows in January. I think I only did one show in January. I'm not kidding you. So had I kept going and had I been doing shows every day, or even having shows at once a week and making it, you know, magnificent, of course, according to the Spirit of God, I mean, we'd have been great. We would have had, you know, a lot of, but I'm blessed with what we have. When I look at the numbers, now our live numbers are way down. We don't even concentrate on live. We just concentrate on archives. And we're going to start concentrating on live, but I think to me live is a headache, just for me at least. Now, numbers for people who are trying to collect tithes and support a church that's too big anyway, as far as land mask and resources the church has and the assets the church has, too big. Numbers is really important. But for me, numbers show who's listening and who, how many people might be getting some fruit out there. Now, I believe that my YouTube channel is a mirage. What I mean by mirage is it doesn't have a lot of substance, which we're trying to put in there now. Because I had a video, folks, that was talking about Benny Hinn, and I did that show with one of the lady, Susan Puglio, and we were sitting there and we were talking and we were exposing Benny Hinn, and what upset me so much is, I mean, we did a fairly good job. It was a fun show, but what made me kind of mad is that I got 77,000 hits on that. We got 77,000 hits on that show. And if you're exposing something, that's fine. I should have just left it up there. But I just thought that maybe, you know, that's a lot of numbers. So imagine if I would have left that up there. Now, I took that on down like 8 months ago or even more. So I thought it would have been up like almost 200,000 by now. And I just thought that it could have been taken as gospel, you know, if somebody was listening to it the wrong way. So I took it down. I guess I took it down too prematurely, because thinking about it again, you know, it's still exposing false prophecies. And also, let me bring up the guest I had on Chris Putnam, and he's a great guest, and that's not what I'm talking about right now. But I like that show because it had a lot of information in it. But if it's not Christian, I'm going to have a hard time bringing that on. Or bringing something up, but I made my point clear that sometime I'm going to have unsaved people on. Now is it a heresy to believe that Saint Malachi predicted that there'd be 112 popes? I don't know. I don't think it's a heresy because it had nothing to do with scripture. Now, if I have a show called The Prophecy Zone, it's sort of like having a show called The Twilight Zone. So you sort of bring people on who. It's kind of out of the zone. Now, am I supporting anybody that has, I call it Galatians 1 doctrine, which is a false doctrine? No. It's just exposing, it's just talking about who predicted the popes and how many popes it would be. And I thought it would be useful to dissect all the other things that are happening right now, and to dissect everything together, because everything's converging on a particular point. Now we see through a glass dimly, so we don't understand totally what's going on. In other words, we don't know. We see dimly, but we do see. And what I see, you may see something different, and what. You might see, somebody else might see different. So, me, myself, after the last couple of years of birth pains, and I'm not talking about myself, I'm talking about the world's birth pains, and the Bible, Jesus said that there will be birth pains. And when the baby gets ready to come out, we'll know, because we'll know when the baby's at the door. And that is true. Now, I'm going to title a show called Rosh Hashanah, the War of Rosh Hashanah. Emphasis on Ezekiel 38-39. Now, when you read Ezekiel 38-39, it says that Israel was dwelling safely and at rest. Now, if they're dwelling safely and at rest, did it say they were dwelling peacefully and safely? No, it just said they were dwelling safely and at rest. So a lot of people put Ezekiel 38 and 39 in the middle of the tribulation period, which overlaps, and it gives no 7 years to burn any weapons. It just overlaps into the millennium, which is, whoa, great. We got dirty weapons in the millennium, just great. And then some people say it happens at the end, in this Armageddon. Which makes no sense at all, because it says it takes 7 months to burn the stinky bodies that the crucifiers see and smell, and they have to plug their nose. Doesn't make any sense. So we're gonna have in God's area where the Israelites were promised, it's gonna be smelling. So it doesn't make any sense, does it? Doesn't. Well, I'm going to go ahead and play a video. We'll be back after these messages.
Blog Talk Radio.
Enter the zone. The prophecy zone.
Yeah.
Your end time watchman, bringing you light in a dark world where truth is rivaled with a lie. And the Matrix is normal life.
Luke 21.
And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud, with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh.
You are now in the zone.
So be ready to enter the light or truth about the end of days, so you will be ready for the coming of the Lord.
You are in the zone,
the prophecy zone. So join us for the next hour as we look at world events in line with Bible prophecy, so you'll be informed and be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ.
Hello, welcome to the Prophecy Zone. This is Phil Armstrong, and I'm hoping y'all having a wonderful night. I certainly am blessed in the Lord, blessed to be saved, blessed to be born again. I am pleased to come to y'all tonight and have this floor and be able to talk with you about Bible prophecy, because I love Bible prophecy. It is the shouting blast that says that we are that generation that is coming back, that will see Jesus Christ come back to the earth to take his kingdom and take the earth for himself. That is what it said in Daniel chapter 9, that it was the completion and the wrapping up of sin on the earth as the dominant source of man's death. And Jesus has paid the price on the cross and has performed victory on that cross when he said it is finished. Tonight I want to look at the mark of the beast. And this is not necessarily the mark. I want to get that straight, of course. But how many of y'all saw the picture of the tattoo that was on the hand or on the right arm of an individual? And I got an article here, and it's from National Post, and it was it got a lot of play, a lot of people coming to it to see the little tattoo, and of course a lot of the technology today is to help benefit society, make it faster, make it quicker, make it smoother. And remember it said in Daniel chapter, I'm not so sure what chapter that is, chapter 11, I think it's chapter 11 or 12, and it says knowledge will go to and fro. I mean, knowledge will increase, both with the creation of things that make society go faster, smoother, quicker, and also, as we read further, we're going to find out the technology that holds men captive. We're going to find that out a little bit later during the course of the series that I'm going to be doing on the Mark of the Beast technology. The article talks about Star Trek and the familiarity of the sticker that goes on your skin. How it is more like 22nd century type of stuff rather than 21st century. But the article is, of course, I said it from National Post, and it is titled Futurist Tattoos Can Monitor Health, Link to You to the Web. It says it's by Patricia Fantinon. I guess I'm pronouncing that right. That you don't have to look like Star Trek Bogey to wear skin-mounted electronics. A team of scientists and engineers at the University of Illinois has developed a smart skin technology that can be used to connect wearers to the cyber world as easy as a temporary tattoo. The smart skin can monitor your heart rate and brain waves, for example, or detect electric activity and muscle contraction and send the signals to the computer. And I guess it's going to be used a lot of times in hospitals without sticking any electrodes. So, you know, you go to the hospital, you get all those electrodes. I hate those things because if you got hair on your chest and peel them off, they're going to hurt. But anyway, it stands instead of having you to have to do all this stuff, you just use that chip or all right. I hope y'all weren't enjoying that too much. I should have kept playing it because, I mean, man, that was a big goof because I went on the main page of the radio show and it said I had 6 minutes left, but I forgot I changed the time. So I got back on my switchboard and then it says 34 minutes and 26 seconds. So I kind of goofed there bigly. Bigly. What was that? Is that even a word? Bigly? Well, anyway, I got to cut down this TV right quick. Hold on. Stand by, please.
But we are going to
also has on Sundays Brother Marcus. I don't even know his last name, but Finding 88 is his channel, and he has a nice channel. He's really good to the point. He loves the Lord, and he has a lot of information to share. But he's going to be on the show every, you know, twice a week, and I'm looking for one more person to cover those 2 days with me as co-host. And then maybe Thursday, Marcus can do a show, and then he can do shows on Thursday. I'm trying to get Susan Puccio back so she can do shows on Monday. And we're going to fill in the gaps of anybody out there who loves Bible prophecy and believe that God is calling you for something. You know, let me know. Email me or message me on Facebook and let me know. We'll pray about it and see if you fit with us or the prophecy zone. We are sitting up late tonight talking about Bible prophecy, and I've been doing this for at least off and on, reading about Bible prophecy for 15 years, and I love Bible prophecy. And like I say, it's a blessing to be able to come on here and talk about Bible prophecy with y'all. Go to my website. Tomorrow morning I'm start updating it. I'll try to do as many posts as I can a day. The website is www.prophecyzoneradio.com. That's www.prophecyzoneradio.com. And stand by. I'm going to give y'all my blog. The blog, I don't even have my own blog, man. That's a shame. The blog is www.prophecyzoneradio.blogspot.com. Go there, and we're going to start updating both sites really hard. The reason why I got two sites, I'm actually going to have three, is that I want to be able to have information coming out on many angles. I haven't really been advertising his website. If you've been listening to some of my shows, I haven't been advertising his website. So I'm praying that something's wrong with this page because it's only one. I've been having a lot of trouble with my Blogspot website for some reason. I've been having a lot of issues with websites. You can't say I'm not, you know, the ministry isn't, you know, we're not blessed because, like I said, I've been having a lot of issues with Blogspot for some reason. I don't know if I put in a, did something wrong or something, but it just seems like it's just not working correctly. I've been having bad luck. If there was such thing as luck, I would have it bad one when it comes to websites. I've always had a easy time, and I can tell I can have an easy time on YouTube too, because I got 240 some thousand views, and had I been doing and if I was able to dig in deep to what I'm going to be talking about, then I'll be okay. It's when I kind of get on there and just say, I just want to do a show right quick. I just want to do something. Then that's when I need God's blessing to do it. And if you don't have God's blessing, it's not going to turn out right. So that's why we have to pray and be filled with the Spirit before we go out and do anything. But like I say, I wish to God that I would have probably been up to 400 shows right now on Blog Talk Radio. But we're going to try to do a show every day. And if we can do a show every day, then that would be great with me. I'm going to go ahead and play one more. I got 25 minutes. So I'm going to go ahead and play something. I play a little of Susan Puglio's show. Don't get mad when I cut it off in the middle, though. But Okay, so I'm going to play a commercial first, a couple commercials, and I'm going to play some of that.
October 30th, 1991. President George H.W. Bush initiates the Madrid peace process to divide the land of Israel. On the very same day, a freakish hurricane, now known as the Perfect Storm, destroys the Bush vacation home in Maine. And the pattern continues. Each time America compels Israel to vacate its territory, our land is devastated on virtually the same day by Hurricanes Andrew, Katrina, the Northridge earthquake, and Joplin's killer tornado. Is this coincidence, or is there a spiritual cause and effect? In Genesis 17:8, God promised the land of Israel as an everlasting possession to Abraham and his Jewish descendants. That promise still stands. Those who bless Israel are blessed. Those who curse it are cursed. Author John McTernan makes this open and shut case in his landmark book, As America Has Done to Israel, and the companion DVD, The Day of the Lord. For ordering details, visit John's online blog at johnmcternan.name.
Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You're listening to the Prosperity Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Enter the zone, the prophecy zone, your end time watchman, bringing you light in a dark world where truth is rivaled with a lie and the matrix is normal life.
Luke 21.
"And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh."
You are now in the zone.
So be ready to enter the light or truth about the end of days, so you will be ready for the coming of the Lord.
You are in the zone,
the prophecy zone. So join us for the next hour as we look at world events in line with Bible prophecy, so you'll be informed and be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ.
Hey, how y'all doing? Welcome to Prophecy Zone. This is Phil Armstrong. And I just wanted to touch bases on y'all with y'all and let y'all know what's going on with me. But before that, there's been a lot of things that's going on my mind recently, including the generation. So I'm going to touch on the generation, the last generation, just before Jesus returns. There is a lot of activity going on in the Middle East, and I don't know about y'all, but it looks like to me that there are a lot of military buildup, wars and rumors of wars. I don't know about so much about wars, but there is a lot of rumors of wars. And it seems like it can explode at any minute. What do we need before the tribulation period begins? Well, a lot of you who are pre-tribbers know that I'm a pre-tripper, and I believe that the rapture of the church will open up the Pandora's box. When people hear, when y'all hear the day of the Lord being described as coming as a thief in the night, I never hear too many people say, "Well, what is the theft part?" Now, I think what they do is they kind of like jive it in with Noah and Lot and how quick it happens. But if you're like me, you probably know by now that it has not happened quickly. But when the time comes, it will happen quickly. Now, a thief in the night can say, "Okay, judgment comes swiftly, quickly, when the king of the universe makes a decisive decision to come, it'll happen quickly." But as a further looking at
the scriptures, I seem to find out that the thief in the night could mean the church. So when he says, I come quickly, I come as a thief in the night, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. I believe it will happen quickly. It will happen swiftly. But something's missing. Something got stolen. So I'm going to cover that in a little bit later. Does any of y'all watch the Super Bowl, see the halftime Madonna, her performance, which technically, if you watch her performance, at one point of her, the performance when she came next to a lady, I was like, please don't kiss her. Please don't kiss her on public TV. I can't take it no more. Please. And she finally backed away from her. But it is a lot of occultic things in Madonna's in her performances. But what I don't understand is, okay, she's been here for a while. She's a performer or singer who has been around since the 80s. And we see her performance now, and we want to get spiritual, and we want to get new orderly, and we want to start pointing out this is satanic. She's always been that way. She's always been satanically induced to perform these rituals. And so now, I guess the more we come to the point that knowledge shall increase, the more we realize that, hey, this lady is entertaining, but she's provoking satanic rituals to the public. Just like Oprah Winfrey is a preacher. I call her a preacher. She's a reverend. I call Madonna a reverend. To me, technically, like American Idol. I watch American Idol. Especially when I don't know what they did to it this year. They seem to not be having it more as funny as it used to be at the beginning. And to me, American Idol was always proof that Americans are eating processed food that is making us crazy. Because there's a lot of people who think they can sing when they really can't. So, what do we do with American Idol? Listen to the title, American Idol. Now, what did Jesus tell us to stay away from? Idolatry. Well, I'm not taking it that far. I'm just saying it's kind of coincidental. Trust me, I watch American Idol still. Nobody on American Idol is my idol, so I'm pretty good with that. But it's just to me, it's a catchy name. It kind of makes me realize the generation that we live in is full of adultery and idleness more than idolatry. I think we're full of idolatry big time. So who's going to remember who won the Super Bowl 6 months from here, especially if you're drinking diet soda with aspartame in it? Who's going to remember who won the Super Bowl a year from here? The only thing I remember is that the Patriots and the Giants already went before and they went again. The Giants won twice. That's what I'm going to remember. But next year, let's say the Cowboys and the Raiders come out of nowhere and decide they want to go to the Super Bowl together. Who's going to remember this Super Bowl? Probably not too many people. If you stop me in the mall and say, I'll give you $500 if you can write down on this piece of paper in 3 minutes who went to the Super Bowl in the last 5 years and who won those Super Bowls, and three people that you're with can help you out. Y'all all going to work as a team. Y'all going to split the $500. I will not be of any help. And I'm a football fan. So that shows y'all what importance football is to me, even though I love football. It's kind of weird. Kind of vanity. It speaks of vanity because when the football game's over, you know, people yelling and screaming, and that's it. But in the Roman Empire, we were kept entertained. I mean, they were kept entertained. Hey, I said we. I wasn't back there. Neither were you. But I feel like we have something in common. We were kept entertained. We were kept entertained for the sure purpose of watch my right hand when I go in your pocket and take something out with my left hand. So, what do we do with our society? Our society's gone, man. I mean, every time I turn the TV on now, there's always somebody from Washington State who's abusing their kids. There's always somebody from Washington State who, maybe because I live here, I'm always hearing the words Washington State, but there's a lot of people who are killing off their kids from this state, and I don't understand what's going on. And it's nationwide. Everybody's noticing that Washington State has all the child killers, which is preposterous to me, too. Generations gone, folks. This guy just went and had a custody battle with his wife. And so now, him and his sons are dead, and his wife was missing 2 years ago. She's dead. I mean, the society's sick, folks. Society's sick. Well, it's not me that's doing it. It's not you that's doing it. Why am I saying the society's sick? Trust me, there is other reasons why our society's sick. Divorce rates in the church outnumber the divorce rates in society. So I'm believing that we are sick. Especially when you have a marriage, a Christian marriage, supposedly even one person is Christian, when you always got to bring up the word divorce. And we always got to beat each other over the head with words to no avail. It's a selfish society. We live in a selfish society. It is selfish, just me. I was attending a church, and they had a skit going on, and the skit was everybody's quiet. You know how everybody gets done praise and worship, and we wait for the next thing to happen. Either the usher stand up and start collecting the money, or the preacher gets up and he starts to speak, but nothing happened for about a couple of seconds. And then all of a sudden, somebody across the audience stood up and said, "Me!" You know, they shouted "Me." And then it kept going, "Me, me, 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 me." And then they get up on the stage and they just keep saying that. And then the next person in the audience, and then they're different ages and different, you know, they got people dressed up like, you know, a man with a suit on, and they got a young college girl, and they got, you know, and the whole objective of the whole play was selfish society. And see, what Christianity wants us to do is live a selfless life. That means Jesus told his disciples that the greatest among them in the kingdom of God is someone who serves. And that is true. I mean, let me back up. I heard, I was sitting in the bed late at night one night watching this preacher on TVN. And it was kind of a documentary. He was saying that, you know, the most depressed people, they found out one of the keys to depression is you focus on yourself too much. So Satan loves for us to focus on ourselves. That's how you got to get people to kill themselves. But a lot of times selfishness can destroy some of the strongest organizations in the world, starting off with the family. So if we do not learn to be selfless and continue to be selfish, it's going to affect our family, our communities, our society, and the world. And no matter how much we try to sing Kumbaya and let's have peace upon all men, goodwill towards men, guess what? It's not going to happen, folks. Too much men, too much sin, Too much of us in the way. Too much of us and not enough God, or too much of us and not enough loving your neighbor as yourself. The Bible, I pointed out to my son today, he got in trouble at school, believe it or not, and I read to him Luke 6, I think it was Luke 6, but anyways, talking about love your enemy. And it's very hard, folks, to do that. And it's not hard for Satan to get in our face and tell us that's impossible to love your enemy. I say tolerate your enemy. That's Phil's version of the gospel, tolerate your enemy. It's hard to love your enemies unless you did have the Holy Spirit. That's the only way you're going to love your enemies as yourself, let alone just love your enemies, period. So, like I say, for folks, we are in a society right now who are calling good evil and evil good. We're in a society right now where our people are battling more for, the homosexual agenda is battling more for their rights than the church is battling for ours. So we get to a point where we as Christians want to complain about everything. But the homosexual agenda is going out to do their, they're going out to stand up for their rights. And it's a disgusting way of life. I'm going to tell you right now. The squares and the rectangle don't fit in the rectangle, and the rectangle don't fit in the square. And I guarantee you, they actually know this deep, deep, deep down inside, just like an alcoholic would know that the alcohol is wrong. They know this. That's why they get so offended. Have you ever said something wrong to a homosexual? They scratch your eyeballs out. They'll stand up more for their what they believe, with the rectangle and the square don't fit. They'll stand up for that. But let's see us stand up for the way the school systems is raising our kids. You think they're going to stand up for, think Christians, you think we're going to stand up for anything? You know what happens, though? It's the blind leading the blind without the blind even knowing they're leading the blind. It's us looking at the way other Christians are handling business, so therefore we have to stay in our box and we must handle our business. So if we see something going on with our kids, if we see something going on in our schools, we see something going on in our community where we disagree with, we're just going to complain about it, but we're not going to do anything about it because Joe Blow down the street ain't doing nothing about it, or Mary Jane down the street ain't doing nothing about it, so I ain't going to do nothing about it because I like to live in my box. It's pretty comfortable. I put me a nice little cover, a comforter in my box, put me a pillow. You know, Christians love pillows. Today, Christians love pillows. Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Christians today love pillows. I just love my pillow. It's soft and cuddly, and I just let me lay down and not do anything for nothing. I don't stand for anything. I'm not saying go out and have a war, because that's what Alex Jones wants you to do. I love Alex Jones, so don't get me wrong when I say this. I like Alex Jones, but it's not. You know, Alex Jones reminds me of, you know, if anybody know Alex Jones, he's a young man in Texas. And he has a radio show that he talks about the New World Order and about secret societies, and he talks about and mostly the time Alex Jones stays on point. So I'm not criticizing him, but I'm saying a lot of those guys claim to be Christian and they claim to want to, you know, they're taking back society for God. You know, they're taking back, giving men freedom to express themselves, and that's fine. But Jesus said that his war is not to bring back the kingdom of God in this system that we're already in. Believe it or not, God's war is against the spiritual principalities. He says we war not against flesh and blood. We don't war against the New World Order. See, the New World Order is being perpetrated and guided by yours truly, Satan. So Satan is the one who is guiding the New World Order. The New World Order, these men would not, I'm not saying that they won't, because we're all sinners. Because remember, in the millennium period, Satan is locked up. And for some strange reason, sin is still there. Because at the end of the tribulation period, Gog and Magog will rise again against. And it, remember, Satan was locked up for 1,000 years, and his demons probably were too. And there's no reason why men should have been dying at 100 years old. Because the Bible says that that men who would die at 100 years old be considered infants in the tribulation period. And for people to say, well, I'm sorry, the millennium. For people to say that to live for 700 years must be pretty boring, well, you stick around and see how boring the millennium really is going to be. I doubt that it's going to be boring. So, the reason why I entitled the program the way I entitled it is because we are in the mind war. And that's why the Bible says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. It's also distorted knowledge. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says, verse 1, it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience served with the hot iron. Should I go on? Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving. Now, in Galatians chapter 1, it talks about someone who preaches another gospel. He should be accursed. Remember, what did God say to the lady at the well? He said, you must worship God in spirit and in truth. And the truth, as Fred Sanford say, and as the word of God say, will set you free. But what truth are you talking about? So the mind, the battle of the mind, the mind is the battlefield for mankind. It's the heart too. That's why the Bible says guard your heart. But most of the time, you have to listen to things from the mind before it gets to the heart. The heart can't hear, folks. That's why the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Between your ears is your brain. So in order to hear God, you're going to have to hear God.
God bless. You have a wonderful night.